Okay, good evening, everybody. Start exactly at 8:15, and it's always very nice to get back together. We haven't had this year together in 3 years. We've had it on Zoom, but Baruch Hashem, it's nice to be back in the Beis Medrash and give this year to people, Le'ilui Nishmas, my Holy Father's Neshama. This is the 16th yard site of my father, Yosef Nissim Yecheskel. Thank you all for joining us. So his Neshama will get a big aliyah from listening to the Shia now and hopefully saying over some interesting vertloch by the Seder itself. So my father always loved the Seder. He instilled that love of the Seder in me. I've tried and hoped that I've instilled that love of the Seder in my children and grandchildren. Some of my grandchildren are here tonight. It's a pleasure to have my father's great-grandchildren here hearing words of Torah that are in his zechus. So what we always do, we go along in the Haggadah. We've gone through it one time. We're on our second time now in the 16 years. And we're going to just darshan a couple of pesukim a little bit differently like we've darshan in the past. We're going to look at the Gemara in Sota, which the Daf Yomi is going to be starting this week. So the Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Aleph and Daf Yud Beis, right in the middle of Pesach, has a huge discussion on many of the pesukim in the Haggadah. So I thought what we'd do to start off is look at the pesukim, which he happened to be just up to. It's not the whole Haggadah that it discusses. It just discusses exactly what we're up to. So I want to read you the couple of psukim, so you see those who are following along in the Haggadah will be able to know where we are. And as I always say, there's no mitzvah to only say vertloch on that piece of the Haggadah. We missed it. We just ran through that one. You can never say it. The idea is to say divrei Torah during the Suda as well. You want to move things along so the children will enjoy the Seder. You don't want to have the Seder so that the kids fall asleep before you answer their questions. The kids fall asleep before they eat matzah. So you have to move this Seder along at an appropriate pace for your household. So when they're sitting and eating the soup during the meal, so that's what you can also say over Vertloch. There's no mitzvah to only say it over with the paragraph that you're saying, and it should be enjoyable. The critical factor, which I always learned from my father and from my mother, Aleihem Mashalom, is that the Seder should be a very enjoyable event. We love the Seder. We look forward to the Seder. That's the way the kids should look forward to it. Not that, oh, I can't believe it's so dragged out. All we do is, you know, talk and talk. The kids should enjoy the Seder. They shouldn't be the ones saying the Divrei Torah. The parents should be the ones saying the Divrei Torah. If you got it to Lubincha Bayamahu, the parents have the obligation to prepare. Kids also love to prepare. Gesunte Heit, that's great. But the mitzvah is on the parents to teach the children, not just to have the children teach the parents. Okay, so we're going to just remind ourselves which pesukim we're talking about. For those of you that remember, and just remind myself, he's a Tuvia Lefkowitz, Oliver Shalom. So he used to love to come to the shiur. He used to always send me, after the shiur, that night, he would always send me a transcript. He wasn't a transcription person like from a court, but he would send me, right after the shiur, he would always send me back what I said in a typed form. And we miss Reb Tuvia very much. He should be enjoying his wonderful place in Gan Eden. And his family should have nechama from knowing that I mentioned his name here, that he always used to love to listen to the shiur. So the psukim that we're up to from last year, we said, Uvnei Yisrael paru vayishutzu vayirbu vayatzu b'mod b'od. That we darshened last year. I won't darshen it again. I know everybody remembers that perfectly, so there's no need to repeat it. But we're up to the last part of the pasuk, vatimolei ha'aretz osam. The ground was filled up with them. Unbelievable pshatim to say on that. But I'll go ahead and just read the next one or two psukim that we'll be talking about, and that's what we're going to cover tonight. So then we have Virov. This goes back on the pasuk. It says, Vayirbu v'yatzvu b'mod mo'ov v'timilei ha'aretz osam. And it goes back right before that. It said that the klaisol v'hi lisham l'goy gadol atzum v'rov. So the next part of the Haggadah explains what the word rov is and it quotes a famous pasuk or two from Yecheskel. Some are in Gores, the second pasuk. Revava kitzemach hasod in esatich. I made you like the lashon of revava. The mefarshim bring down is a lashon of harbe, rav. It should grow. So you will grow kitzemach hasodeh, like the flowers of the field, the satich. I made you like the flowers of the field. Vatirbi, you will become multiplied. Vatigdali, you'll grow up. Vatavoi ba'dei adoyim. We'll have to explain what that means. Adei adoyim literally means like ornaments upon ornaments. But we'll see there's a beautiful drasha and a phenomenal gematria that we'll see from that. Ba'dei adoyim. So you've grown up. Shadayim nachonu, usareach tzimeach. You physically matured. Va'at, nevertheless, Aron ve'erya, but you're naked and you're bare. So I have to explain what all these words mean. I just translated them loosely. That's the first pasuk in Yecheskel. Many are not Goris. The next pasuk in Yechezkel, but in almost all the Haggadahs today, they are Goris. V'ayavar, alayach, v'arech, misposeses b'damoyich. I'll pass over you and you'll see misposeses b'damoyich. You'll be filthy with blood. And I will say to you, b'damayich chayi, b'damayich chayi. The very, very famous words. We say them in the Brits. We'll see why we say them in the Bris, and we'll see a very interesting custom that I never was noeg before. I learned it, maybe this year, Mitzvah Shem, I'll be noeg it. The people dip their fingers into the blood, bidomayi chayi, bidomayi chayi. And that's because they want to add up to 18 times that we dip in the blood. We have the three of Dom Va'esh, Simros, Arshan. Those are three dippings. The 10 dippings by the Esser Makos. And then you have the mnemonic the Rehuda gives, the Tzachadash Biachav. So that's a total of 16 dippings. So some dip over here, Bidomayi Chayi, Bidomayi Chayi, they take out a little bit of wine and dip it on their plate, and to a total of 18, and that's to represent Chai, that we should live. Not like the blood representing the death, but we should live. Again, a beautiful custom. Some dip over here, some don't have this even Goris over here. So that's the next pasuk that we'll discuss. And then the final pasuk that we'll discuss. Final two psukim vayireo sona mitzrim vayanunu. The mitzrim made us bad and they afflicted us. Vayidu aleinu avodah kasha, and they gave us a lot of hard work, a lot of repetitive terms there. We'll have to darshan that. And then the last pasuk is vayavidu es mitzrayim es bnei yisrael b'forech. That mitzrayim worked us very hard and they made us do forech, very, very hard labor. So those are the psukim that we'll discuss. And we'll start off with the Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara in Sota tells us this pasuk. One other pasuk I missed. I see. Hava nischak molo pen yirbev ayos kisikrenem uchamav nosafka mual soneinu. Let us get together and be smart to outsmart Lo. We'll have to explain who Lo is. Lest the Jewish people become multiplied and they'll fight with us. They'll be the fifth column. Paro was the forerunner of any anti-Semitism. He made all sorts of allegations that the Jewish people would be a fifth column. You know, we weren't Mitzrayim, we were Jews. We're against the government. We're always going to fight the government. We're going to go and have a milchama with them. V'nosaf kamuah soneinu, and we'll overcome them. We'll join into with their enemies. V'nocham banu, they'll fight with us. V'olam min ha'aretz, which again is funny words. V'olam min ha'aretz. So the Gemara is going to say it should have said v'olinu min ha'aretz. So we'll have to discuss all of these words. These are the psukim we'll discuss. So the Gemara in Sota starts off and says, Hava nischak molo. Who exactly was Paro saying? Now Paro's modus operandi over here, the Mefarshim bring down, was to figure out a way how he could punish the Jews and not get punished by Hashem. Paro recognized that God was all powerful. He understood, as we can see from many, many discussions in the Gemara and the Mefarshim, Paro knew exactly who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world. And the Gemara in this discussion on Yud Aleph in Sota tells us, B'midah shata modid, modid no so. The way you act is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you. And we learn this out from many places. One of them is from Vayishma Yisro. What did Yisro hear? What did he see? What did he understand? So the answer that Mefarshim give is, he saw the Midah Kineged Midah. Every one of the plagues. The Mitzrayim did this to us, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did them Midah Kineged Midah, quid pro quo, right back to them. He did exactly the way they deserved. Based upon this, Yisro said, I see that there's a God in the world. And every one of the Makas, every one of the troubles that the Mitzrayim had was directly related to something that they did to the Jewish people. So Paro didn't want to get Petch. Paro knew that he was getting in trouble. So he was doing all these machinations, the Mefarshim say, in order to put the blame always on somebody else. He told the Yoldos, the Mialdos, you throw the baby, you kill the babies. He told the Jewish people, you do this, you do that. He didn't want to ever be the one to directly cause them to do it. He set up, some say the Sarei Misim that we'll learn about, he set up a kapo system so that the Jews would go and punish the Jews. So he could always say to God, I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with all the troubles and tribulations that they had. He's the paradigm of anti-Semitism. He's the paradigm of a hypocrite. And we have to understand that's how Paro is Pera. His name is a jumble for a horrible person. He had a horrible mouth. Everything that he did, he tried to just cause trouble for the Jewish people and at the same time make sure that he didn't get into trouble for it. It was devious, doing all these machinations. So, Hava Nischak Molo, the Gemara says, let us go and outsmart Lo, him. Who is the him talking about? So the Gemara says, and should have said, Hava Neschachma Lahem. Should have said, let's outsmart them, the Jews, plural. Who is the low? So some suggest this is Moshe Rabbeinu, who would be born 36 years later. So Hava Neschachma Lo is an allusion to the fact, Lo Gematria is 36, that will outsmart that Jew that will be born 36 years from now by going and killing him off. So that's one explanation. But that's not the explanation that the Gemara gives. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, Bo v'nechkam l'moshiyon shal Yisrael. We're going to outsmart God. Again, the chutzpah of Paro. This is the same Paro who said, who is this God? So he tried to afterwards say, I'm just following orders. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, Deger yevizarachob, yeretzolem, v'avadu v'idosam, arba be'el shana. I was just being a good Jew. I was just being a good person. I was doing what you said to do. Subjugate the Jewish people. But Hashem tells it back. You just said, who is Hashem? You asked Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, God said to take him out. He says, who's God? So you're a liar. You can't argue both sides like Paro constantly tried to do. Oh, I don't know who Hashem is, but oh, I know Hashem's a really tough guy. So I'm just following orders from Hashem. So he says, let's outsmart Hashem. And he says, he goes through a host svara. The Gemara goes through a host svara. I'll only tell you it outside. I won't say it inside. He says, let's go and burn the Jews. Let's go and give srefa to the Jews. We can't. And he brings down, as unbelievable as it is, he brings down psukim to support that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would judge him with fire. I won't go through the psukim. The Mepharshim have a field day on saying Paro was a baki in Tanakh, that he knew all these psukim. So some say he just understood the idea, and the psukim are there just as an asmach, the support to the idea that he understood the midah keneged midah. So he said, okay, we can't go judge them with fire because we'll get petch. Hashem will burn us. So he says, let's go and judge them in another way. So he says, let's go judge them with water. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he swore that he wouldn't go and bring another marble on the whole world. Or alternatively, he said, so the Gemara says that he didn't understand that Hashem said he wouldn't bring a marble on the whole world, but he would bring a marble on one nation, possibly. Alternatively, the Gemara says, God didn't bring a marble on them. They ran towards the water. The Pasuk says, Mitzrayim nosim likraso, that the Mitzrayim ran to go and drown themselves in the water. So therefore, Hashem didn't drown them. They drowned themselves. And that's how we understand the pasuk, Ki ba'davar asher zadu, that which they wanted to do by throwing the Jewish babies into the Nile, that's exactly how they were punished on Yam Suf. Asher zadu, that which they did, b'mezid, the word zadu comes from b'mezid. Others, the Gemara brings down an interesting idea that it comes from Yaakov made the nezid adoshim. So the common aphorism the Gemara says is he got cooked in his own pot. So it says that the lashon of nozid is that asher zodu alehem, he tried to cook the Jewish people by drowning them, so he got cooked in his own pot and that he drowned, or all of his army drowned. The Medrash says that Paro actually survived and that Paro ended up becoming the king of Nineveh with the whole story of Yonah. That was Paro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu left him alive. Paro somehow did tshuva. And then when Nineveh sinned and Yonah said, you better do tshuva, Paro said, listen, we better do tshuva. This God means business. So again, the story is a connected story to story. So Asher Zodu Alihem, that which he wanted to do, he in turn was punished with. Then the Gemara tells us a famous thing, and here's one of the most unbelievable gematrias that you're ever going to see. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Simoi, Shlosh Hayu Be'osan Eitza, Bilam Iyov V'Yisro. There were three people that were involved in this discussion, this tribunal, as to what to do with the Jewish problem. And again here, the Chazal and the Midrashim tell us that Paro originally refused to persecute the Jews. And for 3 months, Paro was deposed until he said, listen, I don't like being deposed. Okay, I'll listen to the Eitzah of Bilam. These three people, the Gemara tells us, Bilam, Harasha, Iov, who is considered a great tzaddik, and Yisro, who's even a greater tzaddik. They were the secretaries of state, defense, and finance for Paro. And he said, what are we going to do about this Jewish Jewish fifth column? What are we going to do about the Jewish problem? Hovin ischak melo. So he started, but they finished. So Bilam goes and says, the Gemara tells us, go kill the Jews. So Bilam ended up being killed. Mida kineged mida. And there again, there are some beautiful ideas over here. It says, Vayasimulov Sore Misim with a mem, Liman with a lamid, ano so with an ayin, bisiv lo son with a beis, spells out Bilam. So he was the one that wanted to set up this, the Sarami Sim Pharaoh, to go and destroy the Jewish people and make him do this hard labor. And his name is alluded to over here. That's not the great Gematria. We'll get to the great Gematria in a second. So Bilam, who suggested to Paro, killed the Jews, so he ultimately was killed. Eov didn't say anything. According to one opinion, Eov said nothing. He was silent. So what was his punishment? Brilliant. He was made to suffer. Eov is the paradigm of suffering. He lost his wife, he lost his kids, he lost his property, he was physically afflicted. Hashem said to the Sultan, do everything but kill him. And Nebuch, everything but being killed happened to him. So what happens when a person's in pain like that? He shouts out. Mida kineged mida. Eo, you didn't open your mouth when other people were suffering? You'll open your mouth because you're suffering. Mida kineged mida. That's one explanation. Another explanation was that Eo said, don't kill the Jews, but make them suffer. So that mida kineged mida is even easier to understand. You made the Jews suffer, so you're going to suffer. And Yisro, what happened to Yisro? Yisro spoke up and said, hey, how can you do this? Paro, you're a kofi tov. One of the reasons why Paro is such a villain is because the Jewish people did so much good for him. Yosef saved his country. Yosef saved Paro's life. Who would they have gone and stormed Paro's capital if nobody had any food? There would have been a civil war. Instead, everybody's happy. Everybody has food. Yosef saved Paro's regime. He saved Paro's life. He saved the Mitzrayim. And what does Paro do? A king comes along, either a new king, Rav Shmuel says, or it was an old king that you forgot about Yosef. Either way, they forgot about Yosef. That's the classic example of a kofui tov. He didn't recognize how good the Jewish people were to him, and instead, Bedaki went the opposite way. They were Rishayim. That's the typical anti-Semite. The Haggadah is all about anti-Semitism, which Nebuch, we're unfortunately living in that era again. Bottom line is, so Bilam spoke up and said, how can you do this to the Jews? And they wanted to kill Bilam. Yisro spoke up and said, how can you do this to the Jews? And they wanted to kill Yisro, and he ran away. And he goes and runs off to Midian, where he becomes the priest of Midian, and ultimately the father-in-law of Yosef, of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he is rewarded by having children learning in the Lishkas HaGozis, in the Sanhedrin. And the Gemara goes to Psukim and Divrei Yamin, which I'm not going to go through right now, which proved the point that Yisro's great-great-grandchildren were on the Sanhedrin, living in the Lishkas HaGozis, the place in the Beis HaMikdash where the Sanhedrin sat. So, what's this great Gematria? Now, I always love to mention this sefer, the Per Aaron. Per Aaron was a Haggadah that was written by a Kodosh who died in the Kiddush Hashem, in the war, in the Shoah, Hashem Yom Kom Domo. He wrote 9 Perushim in his Haggadah. The one I like the best is the Per Aaron, because it's only Gematrias. You have an entire Perush throughout the Haggadah of Gematrias. I don't know how somebody could come up with this Gematria except the Ruach HaKodesh. I don't think with a computer you could come up with this Gematria. Listen to this Gematria. He says, Gimel Ba'osa Eitza, Eov Yisrog Bilam, Eov Shosak, Yisro Barach, Bilam Yatz. That entire series of words is the exact same gematria as Hova Nischach below Pen Yerbe, Foyoki Sikrenu Milchamov, Nosav Kamu Al Sonenu, Nuncham Banu V'Yalom Nino Aritz. Unbelievable! It's a Gemara, but the gematrias are parparas. They would make, you know, the fourth spice for the meal. It's an exact gematria. How somebody in the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto, in the middle of the Shoah, could come up with this, write it down, bury it, and then have it recovered after the war by somebody. It didn't get destroyed in the war. This is his Perush Pe'er Aaron. He has unbelievable gematrias like this, which he, again, thought up or they came to the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's an allusion to this Gemara on this pasuk, this idea of these three people going and coming up with the plot, how are we going to deal with the Jewish problem, an age-old problem. Okay. I'm sorry? Gimel Ba'osa. It's straight from the Gemara. It's a quote from the Gemara. Gimel Ba'osa. Daf Yud Aleph in Sanhedrin. Gimel Ba'osa Eitza. Eov Yisro Bilom. Eov Shosak. Yisro Barach. Bilom Yatz. Okay, so straight from the Gemara. Yud Aleph in Sota for those that want to look it up. Okay. Then it says, the Nilcham Banu, the Jewish people are going to fight with us. The Allah Mina Oretz. And then they're going to leave the land. And Gemara asked this question. Rashi articulates it perfectly. And he says, what do you mean they're going to fight with you and then they'll leave the land? You should be really happy. If your enemies attack you and then they leave, you should be happy. But you're not happy. So one of the Perushim on this is that they're going to wipe you out and then they'll leave the land. The Nucham Banu, they're going to eradicate you and then they'll leave the land. That's one of the Perushim in the Svarim on the Haggadah. But the Gemara doesn't give that answer. The Gemara gives the answer that he didn't want to curse himself. So he said, the Nucham Banu, the Olam Min Ha'aretz, they're going to kick us out of the land. The Olinu Min Ha'aretz. And that's the way you have to understand it according to Gemara. He didn't want to say a curse on himself, on the Mitzrayim, that Paro is going we're going to lose the battle against the Jews, and the Jews are going to kick us out of the land. V'olinu min ha'aretz. So he said, V'olah, and they'll go out from the land. But it was really, he knew that they would lose, and the Jews would kick them out. That was what his concern was. That was the charade that they made. The Jewish people weren't even servants at that point in time. The Jewish people weren't subjugated at that point in time. So there was absolutely no reason for them to hate the Jews other than Esav Sonei Es Yaakov. That's the only explanation. The Jewish people had only done them good, hadn't done anything bad to them for that entire time, and yet they wanted to kill us. Then it says in the Gemara, Vayisimu lo sarei misim. They put up these sarei misim, these officers, these overlords, to make sure the Jewish people would work. Who are these sarei misim? So a number of different interpretations. The one that I unfortunately like best is that they put up Jews to be capos. And this way, Paro said, hey, I didn't do anything. The Jewish people forced the other Jewish people to do the hard work, and they punished them. Now, Dason and Aviram were two of those Jewish capos. And Dason and Aviram refused to do the dirty work of Paro. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes on Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we crossed the Yamsuf, there were two Kriyas Yamsufs. Not one. There were two Kriyas Yamsufs. First Kriyas Yamsuf was all Klal Yisrael. Then look at the words and look in the Targum Yonas Ben Aziel. It says there was a second Kriyas Yamsuf. Who was the second Kriyas Yamsuf for? Dosan and Avira. They didn't want to go. They were happy to stay in Mitzrayim. But then they saw that Mitzrayim all beaten up, so then they decided we'll go with the Jews. And because they were capos who did not beat the Jewish people and did not inflict pain and suffering, and instead the Mitzrayim beat them. So even though they were otherwise lowlifes, even though Dosan Avir had caused unbelievable trouble for Moshe Rabbeinu, they were the two people that made Moshe Rabbeinu have to leave Mitzrayim. They said, hey, what, are you going to go? You're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri? They told Paro. They told Moshe Rabbeinu. They told Paro that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave Mitzrayim because of Dosan and Aviram. They were the ones with trouble with Korach. They were the ones with trouble with many other things. And yet, because they wouldn't beat up other Jewish people, as rotten as they were, Hashem made Kriyas Yamsuf just for Dosan and Aviram. What a Musa Haskell for us. To understand that if we treat each other nicely, that's worth an unbelievable zuchus in shemayim for us. If we don't start up with other Jewish people and try as much as possible to have shalom in the family, that's the best message that we could possibly have. Anyway, that's what it says, that Vayasim Olav Sari Misim. So it says, the Gemara, Milame Sheviu Mab, so then another pshat, so Paro, his Perach, his soft voice. Perach is Perach. That's one of the interpretations. That Paro was a smooth talker. And he told the Jewish people, hey, I'll come and do the work also. Let's build up Pisom and Ramses. Let's all join together to build up Pisom and Ramses to do hard work. And lest you think it's below my dignity to go, I'll go with you. And it says they put a malbein, which was like a form of a brick, around Paro's neck. And on the first day, he said, I'm out there with you, building up the cities. And all the Jewish people came out also, except the Levim. Levim said, no, we don't do that stuff. And that's why the Levim were not punished. They didn't come out. But the Jewish people were interested in kavod. And this is a kitrug, according to many of the Mefarshim, the Jewish people. They said, whoa, Paro's going out there. All the Chashuvim are going out there. We want to be counted with the hoi polloi. We want to be counted with the chashuva guys. We want to be out there with the very, very important people. Okay. First day, they were very important people. Second day, were the slaves. Power didn't show up the second day. And they counted the bricks and said, this is how many bricks you made when you're enthusiastic and want to be a big shot. Well, that's how many bricks you're going to have to make every single day. So Paro did this. It says over here that they put this brick around Paro. And the Chol Echad Yisrael Shomar, oh, I'm an Istinus. I can't do this work. I'm a white collar worker. I don't do blue collar stuff. So Paro said, and I'm not. So Paro went and went out there to do the hard work. So everybody else went to do the hard work as well. Okay, so that's what the word sorry misim, dovor shemesim levenim. He put on something that made bricks. Okay. Then it says, leman anoso besivlo som, to go and afflict them with all of these difficult tasks to do. So again, leman anoso, it's wrong language. It should have said leman anosom, plural, to go and afflict the Jewish people. So why does it say that? So the answer is that this is a reflection that Paro would be punished. Leman anoso, Paro would ultimately punish. The hand of Mida keneged Mida. You punish the Jewish people, you ultimately will be punished. I remember reading a book when I was younger by a famous poet. Maybe, I don't remember who, I don't want to say for sure, but it said, the mills of God grind very slowly, but they grind exceedingly well. So it may take several hundred years for us to, the light goes off and says, now we see the Mida keneged Mida. May take a long time, but when Paro caused the Jewish people to suffer, that ultimately was how he got suffering. So that's what the pasuk means. Leman anoso, Paro got punished because of Besiv Lo Sam, the suffering that he caused the Jewish people. Then it goes to Pisum and Ramses. So why did they have to go? This isn't from the Gemara, this is from the Mefarshim and the Haggadah. Why were Pisum and Ramses specifically picked to be built? So there's an amazing idea that's brought down by some of the Mefarshim on the Haggadah that says that when Yehuda saw that Yosef took Binyamin, so he let out a cry. And that cry was such a strong cry, it destroyed the cities of Pisom and Ramses. So Paro, years later, said, you guys destroyed Pisom and Ramses, now you're going to rebuild Pisom and Ramses. That's why those cities specifically were the cities that were chosen to be rebuilt by Paro. And it also explains why they were destroyed. That's what the Yalkut Reuven says. He brings out a medrash. Shebishar shalokach Yosef is Binyamin. At the moment that Yosef said to Binyamin, you stole from my gviya, you stole my goblet. So nismala Yehuda chema. He was very, very angry. Vishar gushneyem. Both of them yelled. Binyamin and Yehuda, and that destroyed Mikolam from their voices, Noflu Pisom v'Ramses. And therefore, Paro now says, now rebuild them. You caused them to be destroyed, now go and rebuild them. The Barbanel has another interesting idea. He says, why did Davka they have to go and build? So, because Yosef had not given the Jewish people taxes. He taxed everybody else, but he gave the Jewish people parsonage. He gave the Jewish people, they didn't have to pay taxes. So Paro said, all those years he didn't pay taxes, it adds up to building Pisom and Ramses. You're gonna build us these cities. And it's because you didn't pay taxes during the days of Yosef. This is the memory Paro had, very selective memory. The fact that Yosef saved them, that he forgot. But he remembered that they destroyed Pisom and Ramses. He remembered. This is the way an anti-Semite works. This is a very selective memory. And we never see this, unfortunately, throughout our history. Rav Yonah said, Eibishitz adds over here, Kavanas paro haiso bibinyan ha'orim laharchik es haba'alim minishoseim. Pisom and Ramses was being built day and night. It was being built around the clock. And they keep them out there late at night to separate the husbands and the wives. Paro's raison d'etre, he wanted to make sure that the Jewish people didn't procreate. Everything he did all the vayivido som, he gave them such avoda kasha. His whole purpose was to minimize the Jewish threat, to minimize the Jewish people from procreating. And instead, so the example that we give, that we brought down before, that we're like flowers that are blossoming. So the more you prune a tree, the better it grows. The more you boil an egg, the harder it becomes. So all of the difficulties, the terror and the difficult times that Paro caused for the Jewish people was a kifshana eish. That was the way we improved and reached the spiritual level that we were able to finally reach, because we went through the fire, the hell, the Gehenim, that sometimes is necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to purify us. In fact, there's one opinion that says, Vayoreyu osanu ha-mitzrim, that Mitzrim did evil to us, is that because they were so wicked to us that we had to leave early, before the purification was done. We left after 210 years. We didn't leave after 400 years like we're supposed to. Vayoreyu osanu ha-mitzrim, by persecuting us so much, they prevented us from getting the proper purification that we would have gotten in a more gradual basis if the Shibud in Mitzrayim hadn't been so horrible. So therefore, because they were so horrible to us, Vayoreyu, they did us a tremendous disfavor in that we had to leave early instead of having the full purification process, and then maybe Moshiach Tzikena would have come. Okay, Gemara continues, and it tells us what the word Vayavidu Mitzrayim is based on beforech. With this idea of parech. What does that mean? So I already mentioned one concept, beper rach, that Paro started off by seducing the Jewish people. Hey, someone of course should say, he gave them a kiddush. He gave them the 6:30 minyan kiddush. After the 6:30 minyan, they have a beautiful breakfast to see him, or a yard side ticking. So Paro did the same thing. Jason learned this from Paro. The Paro gave the Jewish people machal u'mishta. Oh, everybody come out. We're going to have a huge kiddush, a huge tikkun. Just coming out, and then we'll do a little work. So he seduced us with perach, with his soft voice. Others say, no, it was the fact that he went out himself. It's not below my dignity. It shouldn't be below your dignity. That's one explanation for farech, ferach. Others explain more standard explanation, pricha. When we have a concept, the Gemara says, parech, he asked the kasha. He crumbles, right? He shlugs up. So he breaks. So that's what the lashon of the farech. It's such back-breaking, hard, difficult labor. Then he says, the next pasuk, Vayemaru es chayehem ba'avod kosher b'chomer v'veinim v'chol v'dav v'sadeh. So what is this? Vayemaru es chayehem. So I saw some of the mefarshim bring down, this is where Miriam was born. Vayemaru es chayehem. That's the lashon of Miriam. It comes from Vayimoriru. That's the name of Miriam. She was born at this time, and we often name children after events. My father's yahrzeit, his name was Yosef Nissan. He was born around Nissan. His name was Yosef Nissan. He died on Yud Nissan. So names and events are often tied together. So Miriam was named Miriam because of Vayimoriru as Chayim. Before she bring down, she was born at that time. In any event, it uses a lot of similar terms here. So others explain that the Avodah Kosher was one thing, Kol Avodah Basodeh was another thing, and then they have Beforech. So here is one of my favorite explanations. Amar Rishmur Bar Nachmeni, Amar Yonasan, the men did the women's work. The Vilna Gaon brings this down as well. The men did the women's work, and the women did the men's work. Why is that so difficult? In today's society, there's gender blindness. So that just goes against biology. Men are better equipped physically, mentally to do certain things. Women are better equipped physically, mentally to do other things. Paro knew that. And he said, I'm going to psychologically and physically defeat the Jewish people. I'm going to make the men do things that the women do. The Tanchuma brings down, I'm going to make the men do baking and cooking. They don't enjoy that. There's some men that do it, there's some women that don't. It's not an absolute statement. But in general, I would dare say, if we went around the room, who does the cooking and baking in the house? I don't think I would be surprised what the answer would be. And if I would ask, if there's a hole that needs to be dug in your backyard, who's going out to dig the hole? Who's going out to build something? Ms. Tama, it's going to be the man. It's not a sexual gender sexism or gender attack. It's biology. That's the way people are. Kodesh Baruch Hu created us in certain ways. And Paro knew this. And he said the best way to defeat the Jewish people is to make them psychologically depressed. And by having everybody do jobs that they weren't comfortable doing, weren't used to doing, didn't like doing, that would keep them subjugated, keep them depressed, and hopefully they wouldn't procreate. But then we have one of my favorite lines in the Gemara where it tells us Darish Rabbi Yavira, Bishar Noshim Tzidkanios. It is the great Jewish women who brought about the Gula Mitzrayim, not the men. The Mepharshim explained, if it was up to the men, we'd still be there. It was the holy women who took us out of Mitzrayim. This is the Gemara. This isn't some leftist publication. This is the Gemara. Bishar Noshim Tzidkanios, Shayu Biyosu Ador, Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim for one and only one reason, the righteous women. And elsewhere it says, Vasidin Lihi Goyal, and the future redemption, B'mher of Yomenu, should come very soon, almost like the end of the Shia coming very soon. The righteous women are going to lead us to the redemption. We'll tag along. The men will tag along. Mirtz Hashem. But the women will lead us there. That's what the Gemara says. This isn't what somebody's making up. This is a Gemara. And it says, how did this happen? And this explains that strange pasuk in Yechezkel that we mentioned, which is a difficult pasuk to understand from Yechezkel. Revova katzema chasod nisatich. That we're like plants in the field. So listen to this Gemara explaining that. What happened? The Jewish women saw that the husbands were depressed. They were out in the field, right? The Avodas Perach didn't say they couldn't go out and work in the field. They had to do baking and cooking, but they also had to work out in the field. That's what the Tanchuma says. So they're out in the field late at night. They have no interest in coming home and being with their wives. So what did the holy Jewish women do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'shar sh'holchus lishov mayim. They went to go get water for their husbands. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace. Mizamin lohem dogim kitanim b'chadehen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it the way they went to go and dip their pails into the wells or to the springs. So fish also came in there. They were expert fisherwomen. They got water and fish, which they then cooked, one hot water and one delicious fish dish, assuming the fish you like. So they had a delicious fish dish, and they brought them out to their husbands out in the field. And it says that they took their mirrors, their makeup mirrors, which were ultimately used for the kiyar, in the Beis HaMikdash, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, what? We're going to use the makeup mirrors to make Caleb in the Beis HaMikdash? And Hashem said, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Because they're holy mirrors. Because they make a husband and wife closer to each other. And that's the essence of what Paro tried to do. He tried to separate the holiness of the husband and wife. And part of Pesach should be to rejuvenate and reinvigorate the husband-wife relationship. In times, unfortunately, the Satan knows how to get to us. Pesach is probably the hardest time on Shalom Bayis. There's so much work that needs to be done, and everybody's yelling or pointing fingers. Everybody's like, why you do that? So that's exactly the opposite. That's what Paro wants. That's what the Satan wants. We should do everything in our power to make sure that Pesach is the most reinvigorated and enjoyable Yom Tov, and not, oy, Pesach. And that's what the Gemara tells us. The men were like that, but the women were not like that. The women went out there and made sure that their husbands were happy. So they gave them machilas oson, they fed them machilas oson, they gave them to drink, and then they had relations together in a very tzniistic way, the Gemara describes. And then what happened was, that was the zchus that we left Mitzrayim, and that was the zchus that we also left Mitzrayim rich, which actually goes along with another Gemara that tells us that, I think it was Rav in Mechuzah who said, he announced publicly, make sure you're nice to your wives. Because everything you have is due to your wives. Not due to you. It's due to your wives. In the schus of the wives. So therefore, that's exactly what happened in Mitzrayim. In the schus of the wives, we went out b'rechush gadol. That's what the Gemara says. Then they became pregnant. So then they went home to their houses. And then the Mitzrayim went to try to kill them if they would give birth, so they went out into the fields to go give birth. And listen to this medrash. And this will probably conclude with this medrash. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sholech Mishmei Morom, Mishiminaker Umishapir Osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent either angels, or some suggest, Bechvodo Uva'atzel himself came and cleaned off the babies as they were born, cut their umbilical cords, because they had no midwives out there. The Mialdos, Evriyos, told Paro, Lo Chanoshim, they're not like the Egyptian women that need a midwife. Those Jewish women, they just go out into the fields and have those babies, and then they go back to work. So they don't need a midwife. But everybody needs a midwife, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malachim to go be the midwives of the babies, as the Gemara tells us. They cleaned them up and straightened them out. And that's when the pasuk says that the Mitzrayim then came along to kill them. The Mitzrayim went out to the fields to go kill the Jewish babies that were born. And the Gemara says, Kivan Shemakirim Be'am Mitzrayim Barin Lahargan. The Mitzrayim said, hey, where's those pregnant Jewish women? We know it's 9 months. They would check. They would have all sorts of plots how they would figure out that the Jewish women were pregnant. They would send the girls into the bathhouses to go and see the pregnant Jewish women, and they would calculate when they would do. Again, unbelievable medrashim. And then they would go to the houses at 9 months and rip them away from even the mother nursing her baby. They would nebuch rip away like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichron, would do. They would tear away the babies and kill them right in front of the parents. And that's what the Mitzrayim did. So what happened? So they would go out to the field. The Naslam Nes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle. V'nivloyin Bakarka. The Jewish babies were swallowed up by the ground. Mitzrayim didn't stop them. They then took oxen and plowed the ground. And we have pasukim that support this from Tehillim. What happened after that? After that, le'achar shohochen, after the Egyptians left, they said, there's no way those Jewish babies are alive. We just plowed the ground when the Jewish babies went into the ground. The Jewish babies then popped up like the grass in the field. And that's the pasuk Revava, Kitzemach Hasod Nisatich. I took care of you, Hashem said. I raised you. There's a tremendous amount of discussion on whether that was good or bad, that they weren't raised in a normal fashion. Some say it was nebuch bad, that they didn't have all the trials and tribulations of growing up. They were raised in like a Gan Eden type of an atmosphere, and then when they were out in the real world, they didn't do so well. They had the Cheda Egel, they had the Cheda Meraglim. Others explain, no, that this was a phenomenal thing that they were raised in this way. That's why they were Dardeya. In any event, so this is what the Pasuk says. Revolva Kitzemach Hasod Nisatich, that they were raised in this fashion. Vatirbi Vatigdali, they were raised by the Malachim and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they grew up. And Vatavoi Ba'adei Adoyim, I said that word, what does that mean? So there's an interesting gematria over here. Ba'adei Adoyim is in gematria, it adds up to be Bimoshe. If I remember correctly, yeah. Ba'adei Adoyim, without the yud, only one yud in Adoyim, not two yuds, it adds up to be the exact gematria of 210, Redu. So they came back. Now they could all go out after the 210 years. They're out, now we're all able to go out. And what it tells us over here is they came back, the word says, not ba'adei adorim, which means like ornaments upon ornaments, but it means they came back adorim adorim, like flocks and flocks of sheep that were now returning back to the fold after being out in the field to pasture. And that's why it says, va'at erom ve'erya. They were naked. They were bare. They hadn't done any mitzvos. They were raised, according to this, being raised out in the wild, so to say, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not a positive thing for them. It was a necessity. But they had no mitzvos. They were devoid of mitzvos. They were raised in an area where there was nobody to be mechanech them. The importance of chinuch. So they had nobody to be mechanech them. So they were bare of mitzvos. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll have to go and give you mitzvos to do. And he bedavka gave the mitzvos that are yotzei min hateva. This was a time that Klai Yisrael needed nisim. We needed miracles. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two mitzvos to do that go totally against the teva. What are those two mitzvos? Bris Milah and Korban Pesach. Neither one of which makes any sense whatsoever. A Bris Milah to go, and as some of the secular world says, do this barbaric thing on an eight-day-old baby without informed consent. Rabbi Yelapian, Satzal said, the best informed consent for this baby is when that baby grows up and does a Bris Milah on his baby. That's the informed consent. When the father does a Bris Milah on his son, and then that son grows up and does a Bris Milah on his son, and then that son grows up and does a Bris Milah on his son, that's what you call informed consent. That's what you say. That's obviously what that child wanted. He just was an eight-day-old baby. He didn't have the ability to say so. But when you grow up and do the same thing, and Bris Milah is one of those mitzvahs that through the most difficult times, Russian Jews who have absolutely zero background, they come out of Russia, they want a Bris Milah. I once had the schus to be a sanduk on an older person, not an eight-day-old baby, a Russian, who wanted a Bris Milah. Some of the Russians that would come back and they had the Bris Milah, they want anesthesia. It's going to be very painful. I want to feel the pain. I want to do this Bris Milah. That's how strong this mitzvah Bris Milah was. And that was the Bris Milah of one of the dams, the Domayi Chayi, that we did. The other one's Karim Pesach. You're going to take the god of the Mitzrayim, Shech, the god of the Mitzrayim, in front of them? that's going to instigate a lot of anti-Semitism. That's going to make us even in a worse shape than we are. It makes no sense. Yeah, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Do this, and I'll protect you. Don't worry about it. And these zechusim of these two mitzvos was such a nisayon, and we did it, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you did this unbelievable thing, Yotzei Min HaTeva, so I'm going to go and now take you out of Mitzrayim, Yotzei Min HaTeva. I'm going to do this in a very abnormal, unusual way. It's 9 o'clock. I said I would stop now. There's so much more to say. Baruch Hashem, the Haggadah, you could go through every year and learn new things. Enjoy the Haggadah. If you got it to Labincha, you should study. The adults should study. The kids always come prepared to the Seder. The adults have to be prepared. Thank you for listening. You should be an aliyah for my father's neshama. There's some refreshments in the back. Please enjoy. And for those of you to Daven Maariv, please go into the main shul and Daven Maariv. Thank you very much for listening.